Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible's filled with pictures. One picture is the farmer who sows and harvests. Another is the soldier fighting. And one of the great pictures in the Bible is that of running. This second Sunday of the year is that picture that I want to grasp and take hold of here in Hebrews chapter 12. And whether or not you think you can relate to running, I know that all of us can relate to hard times. That life is like running. Life is like going in this long, long run, and we try, and then sickness hits, or we try, and then there's still sin in our lives. We try, and then we feel inadequate. In this text that I'll read to you right now out of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So the central thing in this text is, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's a very central thing. That's the thing that we should focus on in this text. That's where it's at. And what does that tell us? First of all, we need to move forward. That's necessary. We all know of a bike, and when you stand still on a bike, you fall. It's the same with running. If you don't keep moving forward, well, you don't fall necessarily unless you're real clumsy. But in the Christian life, you fall. If you don't move forward, you fall. So some forward motion. Also, this run is like a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not 100 meter. It's a marathon. It's a lifelong marathon, if you would. You got to endure not for many hours, like a regular marathon, which I could never do, but you got to endure for life. That's what running is in this sense, in this context. Those who give up, they were never really in the race. Those who say, I can't finish the Christian life, they were never really even part of the race. They were just pretenders on the side. Like when you see those real runs where they run marathons, maybe sometimes a kid will run along the side of the run. Well, he was never part of the race. That would be the case if someone was to give up. It's also a demanding run. Like physical running, the Christian life is hard. It requires training. It requires self-denial. And faith and obedience is required. And then finally, it's a spiritual run. That run begins at the new birth, and it lasts our entire life, rest of our life as Christians. And if we feel that we lose out, if we feel we don't finish well, it's our own fault. It's not God's fault. It's our own fault. And if we win, that is, finish well, all honor should not go to us but to God. So we're in a run. We're in a race. It's a hard race. And the question is, how do we get through it? How do we make it from the day we're born again till we cross the finish line and go into glory until we die? And the author of Hebrews, who we don't know who is, he gives us three helps, three things to show us how can you finish this race well. The first is the witnesses that precedes. The second is the obstacles that must be removed. And the third is the goals that should be kept in front of us. So the first thing is, how do we finish the race? The witnesses that precede. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Who are they? Who are they not? Those witnesses point back to chapter 11. If you know a little bit about Hebrews, chapter 11 is one of the great chapters of the Bible. It's called the Faith Hall of Fame. It mentions all these people who lived by faith, all the way back from Adam to Abraham to Moses and a bunch of people in between. They all finished the race. What it does not talk about is spectators. So, of course, if you think about a race, you could think about spectators. Like if it's a marathon, you have all the spectators along the road looking at the marathon runners. You could be in a stadium with spectators looking at the runners in the stadium. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about people who did the race before us. They were runners, more like a relay race. A relay race is where you run and you hand someone something and then you keep running. This is more what it's like. Those are the witnesses that went before you. Your dead grandmother is not looking down from heaven seeing how your race is going. That's not biblical. She doesn't sit up there and say, oh, I hope he's going to finish well. I hope he's going to keep running. That's not biblical. What is biblical is that we should look at our, if we had a godly grandmother like I did, we should look at our godly grandmother and see how she finished the race. We should look at Moses and see how he finished the race. We should look at Abraham. We should even look at David or Augustine or Luther or Spurgeon. We should look at all these people and see how did they finish the race. They're mentioned as a cloud of witnesses, like a great group of witnesses, like many of them. There are so many, they look like a cloud. And there are many you can pick between, like the ones I just mentioned, and many, many more. First of all, of course, from the biblical story, but also from church history. Many people that went in front of you could be deceased family members. It could be people who you know from church history, and it could be the biblical characters. Those are the witnesses you can look at. How do they help us? These witnesses are not perfect. It's very, very important to note. David was a sinner. Abraham was a sinner. And every single one of them were sinners. So if we look at them, we don't look at their failures. We look at their successes. We look at how they did finish and that they finished well, even though they were sinners. They made it past the goal line. And when we think things are rough, things are hard, we can look at their lives and think, okay, at least I didn't have to escape to Egypt, or at least I wasn't sawed asunder, how it's mentioned there in 11, or I wasn't burned at the stake like John Huss was, or I wasn't run out of my church like this guy, my life was easier than that guy. Maybe it was harder than someone else's, but at least it was easier than theirs. So we can look at those witnesses and see that even though their life was rough, even though running is rough and hard, that they're still witnesses. They're still there for us. They give us, as we look into them, their examples, they give us hope. They give us hope for the present. So that's the first thing we should know. If we want to run this race, if we want to finish, we should look at the witnesses, the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. But there's a second thing. That's the obstacles that must be removed, and there are two of them. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Every weight is the first thing. I'm not a runner. I, of course, I've been running a little bit in my life, but it's years ago, my knees, they don't do well. So I don't know much about running, but I know this, that you don't want excess weight, whether it's here in your belly or whether it's in the clothes you wear. You don't want excess weight. You don't want anything that hinders your run, especially if you're to do either a sprint or a long race. That's a big no-go. You don't want loose clothes. You want tight clothes if you can so that you run more easily. I've been told if you run a marathon, the food you eat and the days up to the marathon, and especially the day before, that's important. You don't go eat a big fat steak the day before because that might hinder your run. So So certainly, that's something to think about. What this weight that so easily ensnare, or the, let us lay aside every weight, what that is not sin. This doesn't speak about sin, because that's the second thing we talk about here. So there are obstacles to be removed. First, the weight. What is the weight? It's different from person to person. It can be things that are in and of themselves good and healthy and fun and that we should be able to do, but they're too big in our lives. They're too important to us. It can be everything good, that takes up too much space in our lives. A.W. Pink, he writes, a bag of gold, so if you imagine a bag of gold, will weigh you down just as much as a bag of lead. Okay? So if you run, and you run with a bag of gold, doesn't matter if it's a bag of gold, it might as well be a bag of lead, or iron, or any other metal that's not worth so much as gold. So what hinders you? What hinders the Christian marathon, if you would? I recently heard this story about a man who did not care for funeral processions. You know, funeral procession here in Denmark, it's usually where you have the iconic black car where you have the coffin in the back. And they drive, and at least when I was a kid, you used to drive behind it, go real slow. I've heard that even in the older days, people would step off, take off their hats, wait for the funeral procession to pass. They would stop. Everyone would do that. This man, he did not like or care for funeral processions. But he has gotten really into playing golf. He loved playing golf. He spent all his time playing golf. And he was out there golfing one day and golfing along. You know what? I don't play golf, but there's nothing wrong in and of itself with playing golf. It's sport, you get fresh air, you walk, you talk with your friends, and that's all good. And then one day, past the golf course, comes this funeral procession. And to his buddy's astonishment, he stops and takes off his hat and stands there and waits. And they're astonished, and they ask, I thought you did not like these funeral processions going by. To which he answered, well, this was after all my wife going in that funeral procession, so I thought it would be only proper to stop my golf game for a few minutes. After which he kept playing. Doesn't that show or give us an example of a man where his hobby got out of hand? Where playing golf was too important to him? Obviously. And I know that all of us, to one extent or another, can relate to this. And again, it can be good things. It can be your family. It can be sports. It can be a hobby. It could even, and I might delete this off the recording afterwards, it could even be books. You know, I love books, right? Could even be books. It could, for many of us, be these little devils, the phone. It could be the TV. It could be talking to our friends. It could be 100 different things. Things that in and of themselves are not sin. But if they hinder your Christian race, we've got to get rid of them. We got to say that's too much. I lost my love for Jesus. I don't love him as I used to. I don't do the things at church that I used to. This is too time-consuming for me. I don't need it anymore. And again, in and of themselves, these things, family, friends, vacation times, even work. Do we have to work? The Bible tells us if you don't work, you're lazy. And the Bible doesn't like that. Even work, if it's too time-consuming for you, if all you live for is your work, and I don't think that applies to us here, but it might apply to someone else, then it's a weight that weighs you down, and you're not running as well as you could. But there's another obstacle. Remember I said there were two obstacles. The first is the weight. The other is the sin that so easily ensnares us. Here we are speaking about specific sin that can hinder our run. It could be that, you know, back then, 2,000 years ago, they didn't wear pants like we do. They didn't have tight running pants. Good for them. But they were running in dresses, right? Even the men, even these long dresses. We know that Ephesians 6 speaks about girding up your loins, this very difficult expression, which technically means take your dress and stuff it in your belt so you can actually run and walk like you should. And this could be what this speaks about. If you have anything that hinders your run, you should get rid of it. I believe this speaks of any kind of sin that hinders your run. No, things that are actually wrong according to the Bible. It could be gossip, it could be lying, it could be stealing, it could be murder. I don't care which of those it is, I don't care what it is, if you're doing any of it, obviously it's wrong, obviously it hinders your race. The Bible does hint at that if you have sin in your heart, God doesn't really hear your prayers. You got to confess your sin. You got to say, God, I know that I did this or didn't do that. Please forgive me and please listen to my prayers again. How do we get rid of the sin that ensnares us? Ensnares or entangles us. It's like grabbing around our legs. That's why we speak of the dress kind of thing. It stops us from being able to move along. And I know that each of us, when we've had sin in our lives, that's what we feel like. We feel like we're held back. We can't move forward. We're there. How do we get rid of it? Now I can actually use the English expression because I'm preaching in English. Mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Or killing the deeds of the flesh. How do we do that? We've spoken about it in quite depth in Romans chapter 6. I refer you to that. But you got to say no to sin. I can't say no. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit lives within you. If you are a Christian today, the Holy Spirit lives within you. You can say no to sin. If you experience, I can never say no to sin, I have to sin, well, then go talk to God if you're really a Christian. But by the power of the Spirit, you can say no to sin. And you can say, I don't want this. I don't like it. I hate it. I might keep doing it for a while. But you can say no to sin by saying, I am simply not going to do this. I'm simply not going to go there. I'm not even going to get close to that. Let me ask you, is there sin that hinders your run? Those things that the Bible define as sin, that makes you stand still and not move forward. Jesus, he put it like this. If you're one hand causes you to sin, and put a band-aid on and say, oh, I'm so sorry, little hand. No, he says, chop it off. Get rid of it. If something causes you to sin, get rid of it. It sounds very brutal, and obviously we shouldn't physically start chopping off our hands because we sin. It is a metaphor speaking of get rid of those things. If you watch things on the TV that you know is sin, throw the TV out the window. If you go places that you know is sinful, stop going there. Ask a friend, say, hey, I'm not supposed to go to this and that place because I'm not supposed to go to the bar, for example, because I go there, I get drunk. I know getting drunk is a sin, so I shouldn't go there. Please help me not go to the bar. Chop it off. Don't do it anymore. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. You can say no to sin. It's possible. Okay, so we have two things now that help us run this race. We have the witnesses that went before us, and we got to remove the obstacles so that we can actually run. We don't have anything holding us back. We don't have excess weight. We don't have anything that tightens around our legs, all that stuff. What is the third thing? The goal should be kept before us. What is the goal? Well, the text says that, therefore, we also, since we have surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Then it says here in verse 2, we get the goal. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the goal is Jesus. The goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. I'm sure you heard that before. The goal is that we should seek him. I've been told that if you really want to run, you don't run looking down on your feet, because that will go wrong real easily. You look ahead. You don't look at yourself. You look at the goal, the finish line. That's what you look at. When we're to look unto Jesus, what should we look at? We should look at first his holy life. It says here that he is the author of our faith, or in Danish, it's the weird old word, banebryder. It's a word that has several meanings. One is, of course, that he began our faith. That's what the word author in the English implies. But it might as well be, we take the Danish word, banebryder, it could be that he is in front. So, and I like that idea better. When we think of the Christian life as this race, it's true that Christ, he gave us faith. He was the one who authored our faith. And Bible speaks about that in several places. Here, I believe that it speaks about him being the ultimate example. So if you were running, you're looking unto Jesus ahead of you, you see, how is he running? How is he doing the race? How is he completing the race? He made it past the finish line. He lived a holy life, that holy life that you can't. He's the perfect example. All the witnesses that we spoke about a little while ago, they all failed, every single one of them in one point or another, but Jesus never did. You and I, we are called to live holy lives. We are called to be perfect, like our Holy Father is perfect. And obviously we can't do that in and of ourselves, but because we are, the righteousness of Christ is accredited to our account, we are given the righteousness of Christ, then we can live these holy lives. So your New Year's resolution, I know I'm a little late on New Year's, that's because I didn't really celebrate New Year's this year. I fell asleep at 10 o'clock because we've been skiing all day. So your New Year's resolution shouldn't be to look like Abraham, or David, or Paul. It should be to look like Jesus himself. So look to his holiness. Look to his perfect life. He lived the perfect life, but also look to his patience. It says that it was the joy that was set before him. It was a joy in the future. It is New Year's. I know it's 2 weeks ago, but it is still New Year's. And if there's one thing that New Year's for many people is, it's, okay, I need to lose all the holiday weight. I need to get in shape. I need to do all these things. And wouldn't it be nice if we could go home and just every morning just take one little pill, and I would have the perfect weight. I would be in perfect shape. I wouldn't have to go to the gym or go run or do anything. I could eat whatever I wanted after that pill. That's not how it works. We know that losing weight requires a lot of work. We know that getting in shape requires a lot of work. It's a long, hard, tiring, laborious process. It requires discipline. It requires patience. And when we think of Jesus, then he did the patient run. He would live only about 33 years, but he did it with the goal of dying. He did all this with patience. And it takes time. We have to look to Him every time we think it's hard. Every time we run in this race and we try to lose the spiritual weight that we should lose. Every time we take another step, we look to Him and say, He was patient. He endured the cross. He hung there for the time that He needed to hang there to die for the sins of the world. We not only look to His holiness, we not only look to His patience, but we also look to His endurance. Because it says that He endured the cross, and He didn't notice the shame, He despising the shame, He didn't care for the shame, it was okay with Him. And I don't know if we realize what kind of shame was on that cross. Because on that cross was not only your neighbor's sin, not only the sins of the past, but your sin. That was the shame that was on the cross. The Bible clearly tells us that cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. It was a cursed thing to hang there. But it was a cursed thing because He bore the sin, not only of the world, but of you. And I know that for many of us, in this little congregation, life is really, really hard right now. There's been a lot of just regular sickness, but there's also more than that. You know, broken feet and broken arms and broken cars. I know of marriages that are rough, and I know of things that are not where they're supposed to be. If we look at the perfect, glossy Hallmark picture, that's not where it's at. But that's what a run is like. That's what a race is like. Again, I will never, I think, run a marathon or any long race. But I'm imagining that if you get to the 20 or the 30 kilometer or mark there, things get rough. And it might start raining. You might start getting slippery. People might fall. You might fall. All these things. But you got to get up again. You got to keep doing it. Whether it's, again, marital problems or work problems or health problems or just problems. You got to keep going. That's what it is. Jesus, He bore the sins of the world. He endured. He didn't give up. Look to Him. Think about Him. Read about Him. Sing about Him. Pray to Him. And I know that life can be very, very hard. I know that we should endure. I know that all this sounds easy on paper. I know that in reality it's really, really tough. Just like if I told you, hey, what you doing Monday? And you say, nothing. Okay, I say, let's go run a marathon. And most of us couldn't do it. It's just like the old saying, how do you eat an elephant, right? You eat it one bite at a time. One little bite. Then you'll end up having eaten the elephant, if it hasn't gone bad at least. So, and that's how our life is. Our Christian life. But there is hope because we have witnesses we can look to. See, how did they do it? How did Athanasius, when he said, I am against the world, how did he do it? How did Luther do it when he sat in that tower in Wartburg and translated the Bible into the German language? How did he do it? He was there for a long time, isolated from the world. How did David do it when he sat on that field writing the Psalms that we read now, or when he picked up the five little stones to fight Goliath? How did he do it? How did he go before us? And we gotta get rid of all those things that hinder our run. I don't know what it is for you specifically. I have guesses, and I could give qualified guesses for those of you who I know real well, but I'm not gonna, because you know. I know what hinders me. You know what hinders you. But you got to be honest and get rid of it. And it might mean cleaning day today. And I don't know about you, but when my wife tells me today or Saturday is cleaning day, I don't feel well. I don't like it. I don't want it. But it might mean cleaning day. There might be sin. I hope you get rid of that, but there might just be hindrances. Good things that hinder your run. And the final thing is, look to Jesus. When all seem lost, when the goal seemed too far away, look to Jesus. He did it. And he's there right beside you. If you do these things, if you keep the goal in front of you, I'm sure that you can continue this 2024 with running after the prize, reaching for the goal, like Paul expressed it in Philippians 3:14. That you don't run the race on your own. You run it with witnesses in front of you, and you run it with Jesus. And you don't run it with all the stuff that weighs you down. So that's the run, the race that is set before us. Let us run it with endurance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, as we want to begin off this 2024 in a good way, running for you, to keep running the Christian life. That's what we want to do, Lord. To your glory, for our benefit, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We know we don't love you like we could, but we still love you, Lord. We know there are things that weighs us down. Help us get rid of them, Lord. It's in your name, to your glory, that we pray.